مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Please also repeat after me نويت سنة الاعتكاف My dear Islamic brothers, whenever you're blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, then first and foremost you must realize that you're very, very lucky. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity to come to His house. There are many people that do not have the blessing that you have. For every one person that comes here, we know there's probably hundreds and maybe thousands of people that do not get the opportunity that you have got. But in coming to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if we only can come according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam would always enter with his right foot. He would recite the dua for entering the masjid and then he would make intention for nafli itikaf. Hence the reason I should to say nawaitu sunnat al-itikaf. Now this intention, it can be made in any language. We made it in Arabic, you can make it in English, in Punjabi, in Patwari, in Mirpuri, whatever you wish. You can make this intention in your heart as well. But by making this intention for the duration that you spend in the masjid, it'll be written in your record of deeds that you spent this time in nafli itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these become available, allowable to you, and you get the reward as well. So a small amount of effort, but inshallah azza wa jal, a huge amount of reward. There are also many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam is reported to have said that when those who love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal meet each other, shake hands, and send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, then their past and future sins are forgiven before they separate. Sallu ala al-Habib Muhammad. Please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. We have a busy life here in the West, but even within that busy lifestyle, there are many, many times during the day where we're waiting for things to happen. You're at the doctor's waiting to see the doctor. You're at the dentist waiting to see the dentist. You've got a taxi, you're waiting for your next job. You're running a shop, you're waiting for your next customer. And all these waiting time, this should not be wasted time. And one of the best ways in utilizing your time is sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. It is narrated that one night Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala, was on a visit outside the city of Medina. And whilst he was walking outside the city of the Medina, he saw a tent. And when he went near the tent, he heard someone in pain. He could hear that someone was in pain in the tent. And one man was sitting outside the tent. He went up to the person, he greeted him with salam, and he inquired about him. And when he inquired about this person said that, "I've actually come to Medina to meet Amir al-Mu'mineen." But he did not realize that Amir al-Mu'mineen was standing in front of him. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, asked him, that, you know, what is happening at the moment? And he said that my wife is expecting a child and the time of expectation is very close. So what Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he went home and he said to his wife, Sayyidina Umme Kalsoom binte Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he said to her, "Do you want to earn reward? Do you want to earn reward? Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it reach you itself." Now before I go on, this is very important, that just these words in itself, that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he said to him that, "Do you want to earn neki? Do you want to earn good deeds? Neki kamani hai, neki aapke paas aa gaye hain, aapne kamane hain. Good deeds have come to you, an opportunity has come to you. Yeah? Do you want to earn it?" And this again is the mentality that they had, that they were looking for opportunity to have good deeds. And so he went home to his wife and he said, "Do you want some good deeds? An opportunity has arisen." You know, and again, we need to reflect on that and think to ourselves that, do we think like that? What we think is we go home and say, look, there's a good opportunity to make a bit of money. Are you interested? Or do we go home and say, look, a great opportunity has come to earn the rewards. There is a Madri Kafla that's come to the masjid. There's a bihan that's taking place this week. Do you want to come and earn the rewards? We haven't got this mentality. But this was the mentality of these people, that he went home and he said to his wife that, look, there's an opportunity here. There's a great opportunity to earn great reward. Do you want to? And she said, Hazur, what's the matter? And he replied that a woman is about to give birth to a child and there is no one with her. She humbly said, if you agree, I will come with you. So Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he took his wife, and when he went there, she went into the tent. Whilst all this was happening, while she was in the tent, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he lit a fire and he started to cook food. He started to cook food himself, right? And Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq was doing all this, and meanwhile his wife, who was inside the tent, she shouted and said, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, give your companion the glad news, the good news that he has a son. Allahu Akbar. And as soon as he heard the word Amirul Mu'mineen, then that person realized that Amirul Mu'mineen is in front of me, because he didn't realize before that. And he got scared and he moved back a bit, you know, and he stood up and he got scared. And Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said, sit down. Were you standing? Sit down. Then he gave the pot of food to his wife and he said, take it in and feed the woman that has just given birth to a child. Then he came out and he fed the person himself, right? He fed the person himself and then he said to him, tomorrow, come to me and whatever your needs will, I will fulfill them, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. And the next morning, this person came to Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and he initiated an allowance for his child and he granted him wealth as well. So at that time, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, nowadays we're very proud in the West that we've got these benefits and them benefits and these sorts of benefits and them sort of benefits. Child benefit, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq initiated it. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he initiated child benefit and he gave him child benefits and he gave him money. But what is very important here is that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the busiest person probably on the planet at that time. Yeah? There was probably nobody busier than him. And yet he was looking for opportunity to make good deeds. He would go out in the middle of the night and look for these opportunities. He cooked the food himself and he took the food out and he sent it to that woman via his wife. Remember, who are we talking about? We're talking about the same Farooq-e-Azam from whose shadow even shaitan runs away. We're talking about the same Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu ta'ala, from whose, who was given the glad tidings of being a heaven dweller by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the good news that you are guaranteed paradise. The Ashra Mubashra, the 10 companions that were guaranteed paradise, he is one of them. We're talking about the same Farooq-e-Azam whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah azza wa jal, honor Islam through Umar bin Khattab. This is the same person that we are talking about. He is the same Farooq-e-Azam. He used to stay up at nights and go out for visits to look for orphans and helpful people. He is the same Farooq-e-Azam according to whose suggestion verses of the Holy Quran were revealed. And he is the same Farooq-e-Azam. This is so amazing about this person. He said that even if a baby goat dies out of thirst by the bank of the river Euphrates, then I fear in case Allah Azza wa Jalla will make me accountable for this. That I will be held accountable. I'm scared that I will be held accountable. And this is what he had, that Isasi Zimadar, that he realized that this was, I'm the Amir al-Mu'mineen. I'm responsible for everything that's happening here. I'm responsible for everything that's happening here, to the extent that whilst I am the Amir al-Mu'mineen, if one baby goat dies out of thirst, then I am scared that I will be held responsible. So this Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, still with this such a high status, he was still looking after the welfare and fulfilling the needs of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when we look at this, we need to realize that if anybody in our family, if any of our friends, our relatives are in need, what do we do? Should we not also be helping our family, that if they are in need? Allah azza wa jalla has blessed us here. You know, we've all come to this country. Why did we come to this country? Let's be honest with ourselves. The majority of us came to this country to make money. The majority of us came to this country to make money, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that. But what about your poor relatives, your poor friends, your family back home? What about them? Do we not all have a responsibility about this? And this is the pious people of the past, they would look for opportunity to help the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the family or not. This particular waqi that I mentioned, it wasn't a family. He wasn't related to Amir al-Mu'mineen, no relation whatsoever. But he went out to help these people. With regards to Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, the Muslims, when he accepted Islam, the Muslims were overjoyed because they gained a huge support from this person. And he took part in many Islamic battles and he served as a loyal companion, being the minister and advisor of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And whilst he was the Khalifa, he fulfilled all the responsibilities. He was a lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. His blessed heart was illuminated with the nur of Allah azza wa jal. He was an embodiment of wisdom. And examples of his courage, bravery, humility, simplicity, determination, perseverance, persistence, honesty, all of these attributes were all inside this amazing person. But finally, a person attacked him with a dagger during the Fajr Salat, and due to the intensity of the wounds, he radiallahu ta'ala embraced martyrdom on the third day at the attack, and he was 63 years old. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he used to look for opportunities to help people. And his blessed seerah, if you look at his life, throughout his whole life, there were many, many instances where he found people to help. There was one instance where he went out onto the streets of Medina in the middle of the night with his servant, Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala. And he went from house to house and he was just looking around, seeing the state of the ummah. And he saw that a woman was present in the house and her children with her. And her children were crying that they were hungry. And the woman, what she did is, to quieten the children down, to make them like comfortable, she lit a fire. She didn't have any food. She lit a fire and she put a pan on the fire. And she put some water inside the pan. And she said to the children that, I'm trying to cook something for you. Don't worry, inshallah, something will be ready. So the children, the idea was that while the children are waiting for the food to be ready, the children will go to sleep. But she had nothing. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq saw this and he got very upset. And he said to his servant, Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu anhu, come back with me. And they went to Baitul Mal and they got provisions, they got goods. And Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he put it on his back and started carrying it. Now his servant saw this and he said, Azur, what are you doing? I will carry it. Let me carry this. And he said, this is my responsibility. On the day of judgment, you can't carry my sins. I'm responsible for this. I will do this. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, he went there. And with his own hands, he cooked the food. With his own hands, he made the fire. With his own hands, he served the children. This is the sense of responsibility that he had. And he did not leave until them kids were smiling and they were happy. And he did not leave until them children fell asleep. And only then did he leave that place. Just think of that mentality, that sorge, that he had this, that he was worried about the state of the ummah. What do we do? Do we worry about our even neighbors back here? You know, I read it this week somewhere. Someone said that we know people that will travel hundreds of miles to attend our funeral, but they will not cross the road to see if we are okay. Is that how we become? That we don't want to find out what our neighbors are doing, if our neighbors are in problem, if our family have any problems. We're not willing to go across the road to see them. We're not willing to go a few streets away to see them. Yet when they pass away, or we'll take a day off work, we'll travel 100 miles and we'll go and attend the funeral. But then the question is, why are we attending the funeral? Are we attending the funeral because, look, if I don't attend the funeral, then everyone's going to be upset with me. Yeah? People will be angry with me if I don't attend the funeral. Naraz ho jayenge log. Is that why we're attending the funeral? Or are we attending the funeral to pray for the deceased and for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? And unfortunately, in the majority of the cases, that is not the case. We're going to people's funerals with the wrong intention. We're going to see people that are sick with the wrong intention. So with the intention of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla, if we did all these things, we will get the reward. And remember, you will be rewarded according to your attention. If your intention is to please people, okay, look, khush ho jaye, people don't fall out with me, they won't fall out with you. But if your intention is to go there and please Allah Azza wa Jalla and get sawab for doing it, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you'll get it. In another incident, Sayyidina Imam Auzahi narrates that once Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, left his house at night. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah saw him and started following him. He went out on his own and Sayyidina Talha was following him to see where he was going. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he entered in somebody's house. He went into somebody's house and after a little while, he came out and he entered into another house. Now Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, he made a note of that house. He made a note of that house, and the next day he went to the same house in the morning to see who was in that house. And when he went into that house, what did he see? He saw an old woman. She was handicapped and she was blind. And he asked her that, last night a person came to your house. Why does this person come to your house? And she replied that, this man, he's coming to my house. He's been coming for a long time. I don't know who he is. He's been coming to my house for a long time because I'm handicapped. Therefore, he comes here and he cooks and he cleans my house. And then he leaves and goes. This was the great Amir al-Mu'mineen. That he would go out in the middle of the night looking for people that were ill, looking for people that needed help, looking for people that needed his services. And he went and gave them services. Remember, he was a human being like me and you. He could have stayed at home and rested. Did he not need rest? Yes, he needed rest. Did he not have time, give time to his family? Yes, he gave time to his family. But at the same time, he realized the importance that a Muslim is in difficulty, that I need to help them as well. So we need to be thinking about, what do we do? What do we do? And remember this, my Islamic, dear Islamic brothers, that removing a difficulty from a Muslim is such a huge blessing. Any difficulty, any problem. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the Day of Judgment, there will be shade for three types of people. And one of those people is he who removes a problem, removes a difficulty from a fellow Muslim. Even if to the extent that if you see a stone on the ground and you remove that stone so that your fellow Muslim will not get tripped up on that stone, this again is a blessing. If you do it with this good intention. There's a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, deen is only looking after the welfare of Muslims. Part of your deen is looking after the welfare of the Muslims. But do we worry about the Muslims? On page 231 of the book, Muntakhab Hadithin, published by Maktabat al-Madina, the publishing department of Dawah Islami, it is stated, wishing good for others and carrying out the welfare of every Muslim have very comprehensive meaning. Moreover, the true fact is that carrying out the welfare of every Muslim is such a noble act that if every Muslim starts acting upon this very prophetic teaching, holding it to be dearer than even his whole state, then the state of the deteriorated Muslim society will suddenly change. And the Muslim society will become such an example of peace and tranquility, it will start reflecting the peace and tranquility of paradise in this very world. Meaning that if we start worrying about the state of our Muslim brother, if we start worrying about him, and we are concerned about him, and we do everything to help him, then would you backbite your brother? No, you wouldn't. Would you cheat your brother? No, you wouldn't. Would you do any fraud with your brother? No, you wouldn't. So if you had just this, that I want to make sure that my Muslim brother does not have any concerns, and more importantly, nothing that I do affects my brother in a bad way, then you would change yourself completely. You would stop lying, you would stop cheating, you would stop swearing, you would stop backbiting, you would stop doing all these things. And we're told here that if we did all these things, if we did all these things, then the peace and tranquility that we have here, it is said that paradise would be in this dunya if we had all this tranquility. So by changing ourselves into the state that we help people, and to the extent that we stay away from sins, would improve the whole society, not just ourselves. If only we had this mindset, that we want to help people, that we want to help our fellow Muslim brother, that we want to remove a worry from them. Whilst mentioning the definition of welfare, Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmadi Arkhan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states, he states in terminological terms, carrying out the welfare of someone sincerely without having any doubt or ill will or wishing good for someone sincerely is called welfare. Meaning that if you help someone with the intention that you're not going to end in any personal gain, because nowadays what happens is we help people. Why do we help them? Because, oh, I need him to do me a favor. He'll be useful to me in the future. Yeah, and if I help him today, he'll help me tomorrow. You know, scratch my back, I scratch your back. This is why we help people. Do we help people purely and simply because of who they are that are Muslim? Or do we help them because, yeah, this person tomorrow he'll be useful to me. This person, you know, he'll help me in the future. You know, I need to help him because, you know, in the future, I need to get my children married and he will help me. Yeah, I need to help him today whilst he needs help because tomorrow he will help me get my child benefit, get my visa, get this or get that. All these things, these wrong intentions. But if you help your people purely with the intention to please Allah Azza wa Jal, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal will be rewarded. There was a person I knew, and he was told by his father, this is a true story in this country, he was told by his father, Beta, that if anybody breaks down on the road, stop and help them. Whoever they are, always stop and help them. Maybe you can't always repair their car, maybe you can't always get them, but at least try and help them. Stop them, maybe they need a tire changing, maybe they need help changing the tire, maybe they need a jump lead. And the son said to the father, Abbajan, what is the benefit of this? And the father said to the son, Beta, if you do this, then one day when you need help, Allah will send you help. Now that same son, he made a habit. He made a habit that whenever he saw somebody broke down on the road, he'd stop and help them. And one day this student, he became a student, he was at university. And he was at someone's friend's house, yeah? And he came out at 2 o'clock at night, he was with his friends till 2 o'clock at night, and he came out to go home, and his car didn't start. And he remembered his father. And he said, Ya Rab, my father always used to say that you will send help when I need help. Ya Rab, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Where's help going to come from at 2 o'clock in the morning? This brother, he told me, a door opened, and a person looked at him and said, you're all right, mate, you need any help? And he said, my battery's flat. He said, just a minute, I'll go and get my leads. And he came out, jump-started his car, and he went home. And he remembered that my father always told me, help people, not with the intention that they will help you. Help people so that when you need help, Allah Azza wa Jalla will send you help. And that's how we need to be. But unfortunately, that's not how we are. We don't help people at all. We don't think about helping people. Examples of helping people: treating Muslims with politeness, helping them out financially, removing their problems, clothing them, feeding them, providing them with peace and tranquility, fulfilling their needs, providing them with Sharia guidance, showing the right path to the straight ones. In short, carrying out the welfare of your Muslim brother in any way whatsoever, is an act of reward. Unfortunately, nowadays, like I said before, nowadays it's mind my own business. Yeah? Why should I help anybody? I've got my own problems to solve. Yeah? I'm going to solve my problems. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to help you. I've got my own problems to solve. And again, this is a sad state, that because we're not willing to help anybody. Remember that son when he said that, you know, he helped people, people helped him. And nowadays, we don't want to help anybody. We don't want to help anybody. We're too busy with our own problems. But if you have problems, just think, if you have an opportunity, maybe you cannot solve your problem. You have problems, we all have problems. Maybe you cannot solve your problem. But if you help somebody solve their problem, then maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla will send somebody to help you solve your problem. So we should make a habit of trying to help people. This is the responsibility of the ummah, that we need to love each other and help each other. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, like the same for people, what you like for yourself. Dislike the same for people that you dislike for yourself. So whatever you like for yourself, you should like it for others. What you don't like, you shouldn't let other people have it, dislike them for as well. So again, if you like something, you know the greatest sadaqah is giving away something that you like. Yeah. But what happens is when it comes time to going to the masjid and the chadar goes around, we dig in our pockets and we find all of them heavy coins at the bottom, them coppers that nobody wants. Yeah. And that's the one that we dig out and put in the sadaqah box. Why? Because we don't want them coins. They're just a headache in our pocket. They're making holes in our pocket. So we take them out and give them to the masjid. This is a state of our mind that we want to give away those things that we don't like. Yeah? But you should help people. Like for people what you like. Dislike for people what you dislike. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also reported to have said, a believer stays within the folds of his deen until he wishes good for his Muslim brother. When he doesn't wish good for him anymore, then the blessings of him being capable are taken away from him. So we need to wish, or even if you cannot help someone, at least do dua for your fellow Muslim brother. That if your fellow Muslim brother is struggling, do dua. That my fellow Muslim brother is struggling, Ya Allah, please help him. Ya Allah, find a way to help him. But unfortunately, we're not like that. If, for example, somebody has a business, you know, a takeaway here or a shop here, and the business is going down, what do we do? Instead of going into the shop and saying, brother, you know, your shop's going down, you're struggling, do you need any help? I think if you did this, your shop would be better. I think if you did that, the shop, well, what do we do? Achoo, shop's going bankrupt. Okay, I'll wait a bit longer. Let it really go down. Yeah? When it goes down, I'll buy it cheap. Yeah, he doesn't know how to run the shop. I'll buy it cheap and I'll make a success of it. That's not helping your Muslim brother. That's not wishing good for your Muslim brother. And that's, again, that's the state that we become. That we don't want to see our Muslim brothers being successful. When they are successful, we are jealous. And when they are failing, we are happy. Isn't that a sad state? There's a waqia of the streets of Medina. In the streets of Medina, somebody went into a shop. And he went into the shop to buy some material. And he said, I want to buy this material. I want to buy this much material. I want to buy this quality material. I want to buy this amount of material, but I don't want to pay more than this. Listen to what the shopkeeper said. The shopkeeper said, I have that material. I have the quality of the material that you want. I have the quantity of the material that you want. I can sell it to you for the price that you want. But my dear brother, across the road, there is also a shop that sells material. I've been watching all day. Nobody has been in his shop. Go and buy the material from him. Allahu Akbar. You know when people come in our shop and they say, you know what, Tiga, I've seen the stock. I'll just go down the road and check his shop. No, don't go there. This is what we're like. Don't go there. His seconds, yeah? His dodgy stuff. He'll rip you off. Yeah? So we lie. We backbite. All for a few pennies. Instead of doing our welfare of our fellow Muslim brother. Instead of helping them, we try to bring them down. And this is something that is inside us that we need to rectify. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that deen is about looking after the welfare of the Muslims. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please explain this. Who is this for? Who specifically? And he replied, the welfare of the Muslims is the welfare of Allah, the welfare of his book, the welfare of the Prophet, the welfare of the Imams, and the welfare of the ordinary people. Under the hadith, Aqim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nahmi has stated that the welfare of Allah Azza wa Jal is keeping pure Islamic beliefs regarding Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes, worshipping Him sincerely, loving those who He loves, hating those who He hates, keeping your beliefs pure in relation to Him. Welfare of the Quran is believing it to be the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, reciting it, pondering over it according to one's capability and acting upon it. Welfare of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means believing in him, acknowledging all his attributes, keeping him more beloved than your life, your wealth, and your children, obeying him and raising zikr. Imams, in this, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about imams, it refers to the Islamic kings or the rulers or the scholars. And it means, he says, accepting every permissible command of theirs as your capability, persuading people towards their lawful obedience and following the scholars. Welfare of ordinary Muslims, serving them as per your capability, removing worldly and religious problems from them, loving them, spreading the ilm ad-deen amongst them, and persuading them to do good deeds, not liking something for them what one doesn't like for himself. So if we just look at that part, about our fellow Muslim brothers, serving them is part of our deen. Removing the worldly problems, removing the religious problems, loving them, spreading deen to them. Spreading deen to them is also serving them. Persuading them to do the virtuous deeds. If you give someone niki kidawa, then they come to the masjid. Then this is another way of loving your Muslim brother and helping your Muslim brother. Not liking something for them which you don't like yourself. But how many of us do this? One Sayyidina Farooq Azam, radiallahu ta'ala, and he looked for a brave man of Syria. But he could not find him. He was told that this brave man had become an alcoholic. And he said to the messenger writer, write a letter. And he wrote in the letter from Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to so-and-so. May peace descend upon you. I am thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla in relation, except whom there is none worthy of worship, who is the forgiver of sins, acceptor of repentance, inflictor of severe punishment, and possessor of the great reward. There is none worthy of worship. We are to return to him. Then he did dua for him and said, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant him cure from his illness and turn his heart and enable him to repent. This letter was then sent to this brave Syrian person who had never become an alcoholic. This person, when he got the letter, he started reading the letter and he kept on reading, my merciful Lord is the forgiver of sins. Allah Azza wa Jal has indeed promised me for my forgiveness and he is the acceptor of repentance. His seizure is very severe. He is the possessor of great reward and his reward is immense goodness. There is none worthy of worship except him. He kept on reading this and reading this and reading this and he started crying. And he was crying and crying and crying and he repented from his sins. And he did tawbah because of this letter that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu sent. When Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Furqazim found out about this, he said, you people should also do the same. When you see that any brother of yours has gone astray, then try to guide him on the right path. Pay special attention towards him. Do dua for him. And do dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla make him repent. My dear Islam brothers, today when we see people on the wrong path, if we know people that are into pot, into drugs, into alcohol, committing all sorts of sins, what do? We just stay away from him.
Yeah.
We don't want to know him. Remember this, my dear Islam brothers, very, very important. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. We hate what he's doing. If somebody drinks alcohol, we hate this. But we don't hate that individual. He's still our Muslim brother. We should try and do something for him. But if we abandon him and leave him, who's going to save him? Another true waqia I will give you. In this country, in Scotland, it happened. That there was a person, he relates to this event. He was an alcoholic. And everybody in the town knew that he was an alcoholic. And very few people would go near him. Oh, Sharabiya, don't go near him. But there was one brother, he kept on going to him. Brother, please read your namaz. Brother, please come to the masjid. Brother, it's Juma. Brother, it's Eid. Brother, it's... And he kept on inviting him. On one Friday, he went to him. And he said to him, brother, it's Friday today. Please come to the masjid. Yeah. Now this brother, something happened to him. This alcoholic, something happened to him on that day. Something touched his heart. And he said, okay, I'll come with you. Yeah. Put my clothes, you know, they're very dirty. I'll go home, I'll have a shower, and I'll meet you at the masjid. Now this Mubalik, he was very clever. He said, okay, I'll go home with you. Because he knew if he went home, maybe he'd not come to the masjid. So he said, I'll go home with you, I'll take you home. So he went home with him. This person, he had a shower. He changed his clothes. This is a true story. He came to the masjid, he put one foot inside the masjid, he had a heart attack and died inside the masjid. Allahu Akbar. Just think about it. If that Muslim brother had given up on him, he's an alcoholic, I don't want to know him. Yeah. But because of the efforts of that brother that never gave up on his Muslim brother, that person died in the masjid. Now it's written in our will, it's in our destiny where we're going to die and how we're going to die, but it's the efforts of that brother. Shouldn't we also be thinking about our Muslim brothers? Shouldn't we try to be guiding them, those that are committing sins? Like I said right at the beginning, for every one person that's inside this masjid, there's hundreds and maybe thousands out there. What are we doing to help them Muslim brothers? Those Muslim brothers that never come to the masjid, those Muslim brothers that are committing sins all the time, what are we doing to help those Muslim brothers that are in this state? If only we could do this. And today it's possible we could, you know, even little things we don't do. You know, that when somebody passes away, and we go to the puri, we go to the masjid. Why do we go there? We go to show our face. Yeah? Again, is that right? Are we going just to show our face? Or are we going with the right intention to go there, to console him, to do dua for the deceased? This should be our intention. And where you cannot go, then you should phone them up and phone the brother up and brother, sorry, I've heard that your brother has passed away, your sister has passed away, your wife has passed away, and do dua for them. But how many of us do that? And when we do it, why do we do it? And you know, when people's hearts are soft, when somebody has passed away in the family and you talk to them then, that is the best time to invite them to the deen. That is the best time to invite them to the deen because the hearts are soft. And that is an opportunity for you to invite them to the deen. I met a brother once and I kept on going to him to give him nikah, though he never listened to me. I used to go to his house 2 times, 3 times, 4 times I went and he never listened to me. He wasn't interested. Whenever I would go there and talk about the deen, he'd talk about going to the gym. Whenever I talk about going to the masjid, he'd talk about playing football. He was not interested at all. His father passed away. His father passed away and I went to his house when he came back from Pakistan. And I said, brother, I'm very sorry that your father's passed away. And he said to me, brother, I saw my father. I buried my father with my own hands. I want to change. Help me. Help me change. And he said that, and he looked at me, he said, you know what, I want to become pious like you lot. And he said, I want to grow a beard as well, but only when I become pious. When I become nek, yeah. And I said to him, brother, tell me a line. Yeah. Show me a line that this side you're not pious, and that side you are pious. Yeah. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, if you want to do so a good deed, don't leave it till tomorrow. Yeah? Who's to say whether I am pious or not? Nobody knows. Yeah? So if you want to do something good, do it today. Alhamdulillah, that brother, I went to visit him a couple of days. That brother that never read his namaz, never went to the masjid. As far as I know, since that day that me and the brothers went and visited him, he is the first person to the masjid for every jamaat and he reads the namaz in the first saf. Why? Because constantly going to the brothers. Don't give up on anybody. Never think to yourself that this brother, that's impossible. We should always try and help our Muslim brothers, but unfortunately we don't do this. The people of the pious people of the past, not only Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, we mentioned him, but the pious people of the past, they would always do things to try and help the ummah. These pious people of the past that would never eat alone, they would want people to come and eat with them. Yeah, so that they could share the food with them and have the blessings with them. This is the people of the past, how they would live our lives. But what do we do now? If we want to go and eat, we go and eat outside with our friends and it's just a show, isn't it? But do we, when we make food at home, do we think, you know, in our neighborhood, there's somebody that's not as well off as me, do we go and give them food? When we go to Pakistan, do we try and help people in our neighborhood? When the time for Qurbani happens, who do we distribute the meat to in our neighborhoods back home? Who do we help during with our zakat? Who do we help with our sadaqah? Or do we just give it to places that we can show off? But I give it here, I did this, I did this. What about your family? What about your relatives that are not as financially strong as you? What about those people that are struggling? You know, you have been blessed. On the Day of Judgment, you will be questioned that what did you do? What did you do with the money that Allah Azza wa Jal give you? What did you do with the strength that Allah Azza wa Jal give you? This strength, Allah Azza wa Jal give it us. This intellect, Allah Azza wa Jal give us. You may think I work hard 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may think I've studied hard 3 years, 4 years to get a degree. Yeah, I deserve the money that I earn. But think to yourself, who give you the intellect? Who give you the strength? This is all a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And on the Day of Judgment, you will be questioned about that blessings. But what about those people that do not have the blessings that you have? What about them? Do you not think that you should help them as well? At this time, Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world, they are suffering and struggling. What are we doing about this? Do we even do dua for the ummah? And if we look around the world, where is it that our Muslim brothers and sisters are not struggling? Where are they not being persecuted? Where have they not got shelter and food? There are many, many places like that. And you know these places. Do we care about them? Or is it, I'm all right, Jack, I don't care. As long as I'm all right, I don't care about them. I'm paying my bills, I'm getting my food from the superstores, I'm having my once a week takeaway, I'm all right, don't worry about them. Is that what we've become? Is that what we become? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah azza wa jal keeps helping the person. He keeps helping the person as long as he remains upon the help of his brother. Allah will keep on helping you if you keep on helping your brother. Allahu Akbar. There are many ways in which we can help our Muslim brothers, not just financially. Even if you just go and find out about somebody that is ill. If somebody that is ill and is not well, go and find out about them. Go and ask them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who inquired about someone that is ill, he keeps on diving in the river of mercy until he sits down, and when he sits down, he submerges in mercy. There is such a huge reward in just going to somebody and say to them, are you okay? How are you feeling? I heard you've not been well. How many of us even do this? Removing a Muslim's difficulty is also a form of welfare. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who removes the difficulty of the Muslim, Allah azza wa jal will remove his difficulty from the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. You remove a Muslim's difficulty, you remove his problem, Allah azza wa jal will remove your problems on that day. On that day when nobody's there to help you. On the Day of Judgment, Allah azza wa jal will remove your difficulties. Why? Because you remove the difficulty of a fellow Muslim brother. Guarding a Muslim's honor is also a form of welfare. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the Muslim who stops someone from violating the dignity of his Muslim brother, i.e. a Muslim was being disgraced and he prevented it, then it is upon the mercy of Allah azza wa jal to save him from the fire of hell on the Day of Judgment. When people are trying to disgrace your fellow Muslim brother, what do? You're sitting in a gathering, yeah? And people are talking about a certain Muslim brother, that he's this, he's this, he's this, yeah, boy, all these things. What do? You either join in with them, yeah? And you start saying, yeah, he's like that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he is that. Yep, yeah, I know as well. Or you snigger, or you keep quiet. How many will say, brother, he's our Muslim brother, don't do this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't talk ill about a Muslim brother. And this again is another disease that's in our society, that we talk ill about our fellow Muslim brothers. Especially, you know, when somebody passes away, especially this really is hurtful, that when somebody passes away, what you should always do is talk good about them, people. Never talk ill about them. Whatever the weaknesses are, nobody's perfect, nobody's an angel. We're all human beings, we make mistakes, but when somebody passes away, always talk good about them. Never talk bad about them. If you don't have anything good to say about them, remain silent. You have nothing to say about them good, stay silent. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if somebody passes away and people speak good about that person, remember that person in a good way and talk good about that person, then heaven is wajib for that person. But if a person passes away and you start talking bad about that person, and people talk bad about that person, then hell is wajib for that person. What are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to achieve when somebody passes away and you talk ill about them? You shouldn't be talking ill about anybody, especially your Muslim brother and sister that's passed away. Especially your relatives that are passed away, you should never talk ill about them. Always talk good about them. Do dua for them. Because whatever you do, this will come back to you. If you talk bad about people, when you pass away, people will talk bad about you. If you don't do dua for people, people are not going to do dua for you. If you don't go to the Qabristan and do dua for people, people aren't going to come to the Qabristan and do dua for you. If you don't do dua for your parents, do you expect your children to do dua for you? If you don't look after your parents, do you expect your children to look after you? If you don't look after your relatives when they're in need, do you expect your relatives to look after you when you're in need? It's not going to happen. This life is a reflection. Whatever you good you do, it will inshallah come back to you and it'll help you as well. But unfortunately, we don't do this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most beloved action amongst all to Allah azza wa jal after the faraid is to make a Muslim's heart happy. After the farz, after the faraid things, one of the best actions you can do is to make a Muslim's heart happy. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal increases the honor of a person due to him forgiving. Moreover, the one who adopts humility for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, Allah grants him elevation. Forgive your Muslim brothers. Nowadays, again, we don't forgive each other. Oh, he did this to me. Do you remember he did this to me? Not only do we not forgive our Muslim brothers, we plot. We plot our revenge. Yeah? Acha. Just wait until his son gets married, then I'll sort him out. Just wait until that day, I'll get my own back. I'm waiting for an opportunity. When enough people are sat there, when there's a lot of people there, then I'll say it in front of him. I'll sort him out in front of everybody. I'll do this in front of everybody. Kitna afsos ki baat hai. That we're plotting our revenge of our fellow Muslim brothers. Yeah, we all make mistakes. I make mistakes, you make some mistakes. Forgive each other. But again, isn't it hypocritical? That I won't forgive you, I won't forgive you, I won't forgive you, I won't forgive you. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Kaisa? Yeah. We want Allah to forgive all the sins that we've committed, but I won't forgive you. No, I'm never going to forgive you. Aisa na kare. Learn to forgive you, Muslim brothers. And we are told that if you forgive somebody, even though you are on a haq, even though you are right, you forgive somebody, you are right, but you forgive them. Yeah? They are the ones that are wrong, but you still forgive them. Yeah? And you back down in an argument, then Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you a palace in paradise by forgiving your Muslim brother. But unfortunately, we don't do this. Inviting people towards good and forbidding them from evil is a form of helping your Muslim brother. Helping out poor Muslim brothers is a way of helping our Muslim brothers. Traveling in kafilas and learning about the deen of Islam is a way of having that knowledge, having them tools. We talked about earlier on that if you want to help your Muslim brothers, one of the ways that you can help them is to teach them the deen of Islam. But the only way you can teach them the deen of Islam, if you know the deen of Islam. So by going on these Madani kafilas, by coming to these ishtamas, it empowers you. It gives you that power that you can help your Muslim brother. And when somebody is in debt, if people owe you money, then what happens is we kind of like become very overpowering with them as well, yeah? And so you owe me money, so you know, you do this and you do this, you do this. No, again, feel for them. If they've not given the money back to you on a certain date that they've promised you they'll give you back, if they're doing it on purpose, that's one other thing. But be patient with them. Yeah? Don't humiliate them in front of people. Yeah. Oh, he owed me £10,000 for the last 5 years. He's never given me back. You know, we feel that we've done a good job by humiliating our Muslim brothers in front of people. That's not what we should be doing. My dear Islam brothers, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we learn to love our Muslim brothers like they should be loved. To help our Muslim brothers like we should be helped. And in the same way that unless we help people, people aren't going to help us. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I have said today, and also the ability to help our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters that are not as fortunate with us, and also help them with the right intention, the intention purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ameen bi jahin Nabi Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
Sending success.